Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. I am more thankful that I can call Jim Newcomer my friend and my mentor. My name is Jay Searcy. My trophy bride, Kristen, is right over there. Then I have three of my six here. I have three of my daughters. We have six children. Three of them are out of the house. We have one grandchild. As Jim mentioned, we live in Hamtramck, Michigan. How many of you are familiar with Hamtramck, Michigan? Raise your hands. Okay. So Hamtramck is a city within the city of Detroit. It's surrounded by Detroit. And many of you know it mostly as a Polish community. Would you agree with that? But as you've read on the news, Hamtramck has changed quite a bit over the past 20 years. Hamtramck has the notoriety of being the first city with a majority Muslim city council. And so I remember right after they had the election and that took place, I saw things posted about Hamtramck being under Sharia law, which is funny. We're not under Sharia law at all. We have the freedom to proclaim the gospel whenever we want to in Hamtramck. And occasionally I even hold my wife's hand walking down the street. We have great freedom to proclaim the gospel in Hamtramck, and we're thankful for that. So you might be asking why Jim has me here this morning, and our paths crossed, as Jim mentioned, in Richmond, Virginia, when we were serving on the youth staff at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And while serving there with Jim, he took me under his wing. He would meet with me on a regular basis. He would open up the Word of God. We were memorizing Scripture together, and he would give me good big brother advice. He would open up the Word of God and help me along. And he, as we served on the youth staff there, I would get to sit there and listen to him preach every week. And that was when I developed a desire to learn how to teach and preach the Word of God. He introduced me to John MacArthur, which is a wonderful thing, and many other things, not to mention John MacArthur. But Jim really encouraged me in the faith and growing as a leader. And I became more interested in being prepared. And so I searched out a seminary and wound up in Detroit, as Jim mentioned. And while in Detroit, the only place I could get a job that would accommodate the seminary schedule was in Hamtramck. That's how we wound up in Hamtramck. And in 2006, we actually moved into Hamtramck from Allen Park or Lincoln Park, and we planted a church in Hamtramck. And Grace Baptist Church of Hamtramck is the only gospel preaching church in that 2-square-mile city full of mosques. There are 12 mosques in Hamtramck. There is a 4-square gospel training center there in Hamtramck, but it's not necessarily a church per se. So there is the light of the gospel in Hamtramck. God is merciful. God is righteous. God cares about those who are entrapped in the dark religion of Islam. He has not left Hamtramck dark. He has done that. He sent us there, and he gathered a group of believers there. And right now, the gospel is right there. At this very moment right now, the gospel is being proclaimed in Hamtramck. And Jim Newcomer had no idea when he took me under his wing and began to encourage me. And he invested in my life. He was just being faithful to what God called him to do. This guy's serving. He's a brother in Christ. He needs to grow. I can help him grow. I'm going to do my job. And he had no idea that providentially that God would use that to see a church established in Hamtramck, a place that desperately needs the gospel. If you're interested in learning about Hamtramck afterwards, I smell that food. I cannot wait to eat. We're going to have a meal together. That's one way to shorten a sermon. We were having a meeting prior to the service, and this meat is cooking right in the hallway. I'm like, okay, the sermon is 5 minutes shorter, okay? We're going to eat. If you're interested in learning about Hamtramck, I'd love to have you come visit, show you around, serve you a good meal, and give you an opportunity to learn what God's doing there in Hamtramck. But this morning, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you, and I want to bless my good friend Jim. So if you would open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, you're probably familiar with this verse. And I've entitled this message, Joy for Jim, ... and you too. I want you to have joy I'm concerned at this moment that you have joy. This passage kind of addresses Jim's joy, but I want you to have joy. I want it to be to your benefit. I want it to be to your advantage that you relate to Jim properly so that you can get the most out of this connectedness that we just heard about. And so I'm going to read it three different times from three different passages to kind of give you three different versions of the Bible to give you a feel for it. From the ESV, Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You see there in that text there's this concept of something that's an advantage to you. It's either going to be an advantage to you or it's not going to be an advantage to you, depending upon how you relate to this text. The King James says, obey them that have rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as that they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Because if they do it with grief, it's unprofitable for you. And then the NIV, it's my version of choice, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. I don't want you to walk out of this room this morning missing out on a benefit that you have related to my good friend, my brother in Christ, and my mentor, Jim Newcomer. The first thing I want you to see from this text, we're going to look at this one verse, is that for you to have this benefit, for you to have this joy, the joy that I want Jim to have as well, you must submit confidently to Jim's leadership. You must submit confidently to Jim's leadership. Now, in the text, the word submit is there, okay? So we got that one covered, but the word confidence is not. Where that word obey is used in the text, really that concept of obedience is that you've received some facts. There is objective data that brings you to the conclusion that it's for your good that you obey what this data leads you to. You have confidence in the fact that you're getting ready to obey somebody that you don't know very well. You're going to submit to his spiritual leadership. And I want you to do that confidently. And I have a few reasons why you should submit confidently to Jim's leadership, and really, particularly any leadership in general. But right now, we know that God has ordained that Jim would be your pastor. God has preordained this from before time began. God ordained this. See, Jim's been saved by grace through faith, not by works. And guess what? He is God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. What? That were set aside beforehand. And so this good work that Jim is doing right now is something that God has ordained for his life and for your life as well. And so we see that God has preordained this submission that you need to offer to Jim. And this concept of preordination really is God ordaining pastors, leaders for the church. We live in a very individualistic society. We like to, in a sense, rule ourselves. It's part of our sin nature. It's also a part of the Enlightenment. But 1 Peter 5:1-4 tells us that Jesus is following the pattern of the chief. Jesus is the chief shepherd, and Jim is following the pattern of the chief shepherd. See, Jesus led the way, and God ordained that there would be shepherds in the line of Jesus who would rule over his flock. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says this, "For now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you." So this concept of in the Lord is something that's been ordained by God, this position of leadership, and to personalize it, the position that you have called Jim to. I think this preordination that would lead you to submit confidently to Jim involves the authority of the local church. People too quickly dismiss the authority that God has placed in your hands as the local church. Right? If you go to Matthew chapter 16, we see this gospel message has been given. There's this profession of faith, this Jesus as Messiah, and that is the entrance into the body of Christ. And the church is there to either bind or loose and make a decision. Has this person truly professed faith in Jesus Christ? And that power is placed in your hands. That's the authority that's been given to you. And then in Matthew chapter 18, this issue of disciplining a brother, an errant brother, a sinning brother. This concept of binding and loosening is an authority that's given to you as the church. You, okay? You have authority given to you by God to bind things on earth. And as it's done on earth, it's done in heaven. So don't dismiss what you guys have done in agreeing together to bring Pastor Jim Newcomer to be your leader. This has been ordained by God. You need a leader. There's authority that's been given to the church. And specifically, this authority has been invested in Jim to lead you, to be your pastor. It's God's will. He's here. You voted on it. So don't second guess it. It's like you buy the car, you take it off the lot. Now what? We own it. Should I have done that? You can have confidence. You guys agreed. Two or three have been gathered in His name. You've agreed. And He is your pastor. Have confidence in that. Submit to His leadership in light of that. Now, some of you this morning, you like to hear a good message. And friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, you're going to hear plenty of good messages from Jim. Plenty. The man can preach. But some of you just want a preacher. Kind of like a MacArthur or an Alistair Begg or a Sproul or a Piper or you name it. You want a preacher, somebody who kind of speaks into your life, but you don't necessarily want somebody who's going to oversee your life as a loving pastor. That you have called Jim means that you are going to submit to his leadership and do that confidently. I mean, what you think about a sheep? Picture this. This is a flock metaphor here, right? A sheep that only wants to eat but doesn't want to follow the lead of the shepherd. Is that a problem for you? That's what happens in many congregations across the country. So submit with confidence to Jim. It's something that's been preordained, but not only that, the one that God preordains, He prepares. Jim has been prepared. He's been prepared. Jim, or I should say Dr. Newcomer, comes to you with a robust skill set. Not only is he very learned, he's a black belt. He can defend himself, he can defend you. Somebody runs into this building to attack the pastor, I pity the poor fool. I like this pulpit here because I could just duck. Let somebody else take care of business. But Jim wouldn't do that. But Jim has been preparing. That preparation is 1 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 1. 20 years plus of ministry, a man of integrity. And I'm not, and the election's coming up on Tuesday. I'm not trying to get you to vote for him. I'm trying to have confidence in the fact that he meets the qualifications to be a pastor, to be a leader. Apt to teach is like right in the center of the qualifications. He meets all the other ones too. So you should have confidence in submitting to him. God has preordained Jim. He has prepared him. And He's provided him. He's provisioned Jim. Jim has the gospel message. He is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He brings God's proclamation. He brings God's purpose, fulfilling the Great Commission. And he brings God's passion for the lost, passion for the Word. Submit confidently to Jim as your leader. And lastly, Jim carries God's priority, which is the glory of God. See, Jim represents God to the world as God desires to be represented. That's what it means to glorify God. I learned that from you, Jim, somewhere along the way. Submit yourself confidently to Jim. But soberly, the second point is soberly consider the benefits of his leadership. Soberly consider the benefits of leadership. Now look at the text again. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. You see, this is in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews has five warning passages. I would like to submit to you that this is really a kind of a six. It's a one in addition to the five. And here's the deal. Submit to your leaders. If you don't, your soul could be in jeopardy. He's watching over your soul. So if you neglect the leadership provided by Jim, you're going to stand before a God. And you have to give an account. This concept of keeping watch over your soul is like that of Ezekiel's watchman, right? That's not a job anybody really wants. It's a very important job, but you have to stay up all night, lose sleep. But you have to look for dangers that may come. So this concept of Jim watching over your soul is nothing to be poo-pooed at. It's not a big deal. I'm in charge of my own soul. You'll need somebody to explain to you the condition of your soul. But that's a lie. I mean, if you went to the doctor and the doctor told you something was wrong medically, he said, look, you need to take care of this. If you don't, your life could be in jeopardy. You're not like, well, who are you to tell me that? Is that what you're going to say to the doctor? Well, no. Pastors, in a sense, serve as soul doctors. And through the Word of God, as He sees your life, as you validate your faith in the body of Christ, He's able to make an objective assessment of your spiritual condition. Body life validates faith, friends. And if He doesn't see life in you, shame on Him if He doesn't walk up and say something to you about it. And if He walks up to you, don't get offended. That's His job. Jim's job is not to micromanage your life, okay? But if he says, hey, I'm seeing a lot of wood, straw, and hay in your life, or that I see a lot of sand around the foundation of your life, or I don't see much fruit in your life, you might want to think twice about it. Because, friends, if Jim is at the point where he's coming to you to talk to you about that, friends, he has scoured the Word of God, he has prayed, and he's given a lot of thought. He's run it by his wife, Lori. And when he comes to you, please submit to his spiritual authority for your own good, because he keeps watch over your soul. Soberly consider this responsibility. And admittedly, in the text, the account that's giving, is it the account that you have to give, or is it the account that Jim has to give? Yeah, okay. We all have to give an account for the judgment seat of Christ. Pastors have a huge responsibility. Think about yourself. Think about your sin issues and all that you deal with on a regular basis. I mean, be real. And Jim has to give an account for your soul. Do you want to make his job hard? That would not be to your advantage. That would not be to your benefit. That would not be of profit to you. So, I'm encouraging you, please soberly consider the responsibility that Jim has. And quickly, in the next minute, lastly, seek to make Jim's leadership responsibilities a joy. I want to see Facebook posts of the joy that he has here in serving in this local church, have phone calls, cups of coffee. You won't believe what's going on in this local church. You might be saying, well, how can I do that, right? I don't know Jim too well. How can I be a joy to Jim? Well, first thing is you need to submit confidently to his leadership. And that's the main point of the text. But practically speaking, some ways that you can do it, or seek to know God and love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with every fiber of your being. Love God, know His Word. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Make it your priority to love your neighbor by giving a clear gospel to them that calls them to repentance, as I've already heard today. And then love your brothers and sisters in the Christ. All those one another passages in the New Testament, all those commands that God has given, those things don't all fall on Jim. This is a group project. And I guarantee you, if you walk up to Jim and you give him a one another passage, how can I best encourage this person, Pastor Jim? He will be like, yeah, this person gets it. All the one another's, that will bring joy to Jim if you guys are loving one another and then showing the world that you are disciples of Jesus Christ. Arrange your life around fulfilling the Great Commission. Serve like Jesus served in John 13. And if you've got a complaint, don't grumble and complain to one another. Come and tell Jim about it. I I mean, he doesn't want to be treated any differently than you want to be treated, right? If somebody's got a beef with you, do you want to hear about it, or do you want to hear about it from somebody else as they were talking about it? It works the same way from Jim. If you focus on these things, Jim's job will be a joy. Trust me, I know. From experience, it will be a joy. And then, 20 years down the road, when Jim's purchasing a piece of property in Florida and you guys are saying goodbye to him, he can say, "For what is our hope or our joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Wouldn't it be great for Jim to say that about you? Amen. Thank you.